WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer... Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Rack Extra right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and, you know, we're coming to you live right here. It's NXT TakeOver post-show. We're going to be talking about it. We've kicked WTR out for the night. We're taking over.
Oh, yeah.
Retro by our good friends over at MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. And, well... I say we because it is Rock and I, but we also have two very special guests with us, don't we?
We do, but before we get to them, make sure you tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive, where if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by just hitting that purple rectangular button above the screen, as Lindsay always says.
And you can follow me, Twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. Ding!
I say we should now introduce, you know, our analyst, I guess is the best way to put it, right?
Our very special analyst, yes.
Introducing the NXT analyst.
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name, number two.
TJ Omega.
What exactly do you do, Mr. Number Two?
That's my business. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go to the little boy's room.
I hate you. I hate you all.
You talked last time about not getting the special intros.
You know, Sunday night here on the WTR Network, this is my goddamn night.
We made it special for you.
How?
You got a new intro. I mean, that's special, right?
Can I return it?
No, it's handmade with love and evil.
I don't think love had much to do with that.
So wait, TakeOver was the number one show tonight. Does this mean Omega's again part of the number two show?
Oh, by the way.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all. The assistant to the assistant regional shark, intern shark Kane Kittens.
Baby
Yay! I thought you were going to go with the other intro for tonight.
No, that was still on the playlist from the other day, so...
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're all here to talk NXT TakeOver Portland, which just happened to be on the WWE Network tonight. This was a show.
I don't need a cigarette. I need a carton of cigarettes after this one.
I need to go to bed, man. Like, this show was amazing. Which, we always say that about TakeOver, because it always is.
But there's room to criticize. There's room to improve. Yes. There's things to talk about that people may have not liked because of certain individuals involved. And we're going to get to it all. We're going to talk about the twists and turns.
I have a stack of strawberry cookies with cream cheese bites in them, and they're the only thing soothing my soul right now.
Aww.
So let's get into the show, shall we?
Yes, let's talk about the opener, because there was no pre-show match. It was from 6:30 to 7, so they didn't have room for a match. But we saw Mansoor make his pre-show debut, so congratulations to him.
He was very loud. He tried to be Pat McAfee.
He's got the spirit. He's just a little confused.
He was just very, very loud.
He tried. A for effort.
When you're going up with Sam Roberts, I mean.
Who, every time he talked, got booed, so.
That was great. Thank you, Portland.
Mansoor got cheered every time.
Because he was just happy to be there, and he was smiling and having a good time and, you know, enjoying himself. So you can't fault him for that. But the show opened with Keith Lee versus Dijakovic. If I can say his name tonight.
Dijakovic.
Whatever.
Dominic.
Dominic. I want to say it the other way. I don't know why I want to say it the other way, but okay. So Keith Lee versus Dominic for the North American Championship. I really hope Dominic's okay, because there was a moment in this match where he almost wasn't.
Yeah, it's a good thing Keith Lee is strong.
It's a very good thing Keith Lee can catch somebody while sitting.
Dude, Dominic had to have pinpoint accuracy, because he either was going to become part of the Spanish or main announce tables in perpetuity if he was a bit off.
Or the ring mat.
Or that.
Anything.
Because his neck could have broken if he didn't get caught. That's how close. Keith Lee was sitting on a chair, and he does a sunset flip over the top rope down onto Keith Lee, who's sitting in the chair, and Keith Lee caught him at the last second.
With his head inches from the ground.
Yeah.
It wasn't over the top, it was jumping from the top rope.
But it was, right down on him. It just, yeah.
And between both tables. Yeah.
There was not much room to mess around with on that one. This match, okay. It turned out to be a really good match. It started slow. It was two big men fighting. Keith Lee came out of the gate with a hurricanrana, so he's like, okay. But then, like, there was one moment he ran against the ropes, and I was like, oh, wait, gotta regroup here. So it's like, it had some awkward moments. But it turned out to be a really good match a solid match with a really good hot 5-6 minutes towards the end.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to describe that.
But you could describe a lot of the matches tonight like that, because a lot of them were paced very similar, where they had a slow start and they built into the finish. They all, except for one, more or less did that. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I felt like this was a good match. We've seen it before. It's a great opener. To me, it was the perfect length. It didn't go too long. It wasn't too short. It was just right. Both men looked good. I will say, and I don't know what it was, but this one felt, even at the end, a little bit more slow than what the ones that we've seen previously have been. And I don't know if that was because of the camera angles. I don't know if that was the way that they were selling. I'm just not sure what, but for whatever reason, this one kind of felt like it was a little bit in slow motion at the end.
Yeah, the ultimate finish seemed a little weird.
Okay.
With how it pulled off.
So, and I said this, I think, last time. I've said it on multiple shows. This was a good match, but then they went to the top rope, and then they pulled out a Spanish fly, because we had to make it look like two big guys can do a Spanish fly.
Take a drink.
You didn't need to do that. Like, that was an awkward spot that didn't really need to be in the match. But they were like, oh god, it's two big guys, so we gotta pull off something impressive, so let's do the Spanish fly that everyone's doing.
Well, I feel like it didn't add anything to the match. It wasn't particularly memorable. Like, I don't remember them doing it in the course of the night because of just everything else that happened on this show. So, I mean, I think they meant it to be a high note for the match, like you said, but it just didn't necessarily resonate with me in that case.
Yeah, I can see that. It was just, again, the Spanish Fly used to be a holy crap move. Now it's just a regular move that everyone seems to be doing.
Kind of like the Canadian Destroyer?
Sort of like the Canadian Destroyer, yes.
Just saying. But in the end, Keith Lee wins. He retains his title. The two men shake hands. They hug. Keith boosts Dominic up onto the rope so he can pose because he's a little tired.
By the way, the powerbomb spots they were doing.
That was insane.
There were some nice stuff there. So yeah, but Keith Lee is still your North American champion.
Good call.
Yeah.
I hope after this that they do move Dominic and Keith on to someone else just to give this a little bit of breathing room because we've seen a lot of these matches. And they're, like I said, they're always good. But we've seen a lot of them in a very small amount of time, so it's like, give it a little breathing room so we can go back to it. And maybe that was part of the problem, is we've just seen it maybe one time too many.
Yeah, I think part of it was you didn't want to do Keith and Roddy right off the gate of having had it on TV.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really anyone else that you could put into that North American title picture right off the bat. I mean, you had Killian fight Dominic, but other than that, I don't think Damian Priest versus Keith Lee was going to really kind of get your motor running for this show.
Sorry, go ahead.
You went with the sure hand.
Yeah, and I mean, for Keith Lee, Damian Priest, you have to do a full build for. You just can't announce that, and everybody's like, oh my god, Damian Priest versus Keith Lee. No, that's not how that works. So, I mean, people would be excited for it right off the bat, but you need to have a story there and needed to have a reason. So yeah, this was fine. I felt like this was a really strong opener to the show. And honestly, this is one of those rare instances for me where the opener maybe wasn't as hot as some of the other matches on the card. And they actually went beyond what the opener did, which was really good.
But that being said, they spent 5-6 minutes at the end just killing each other. And then you led into the next match. It was like the girls were in a spot where they had to come out hot. And they did.
I wouldn't call that coming out hot. I would call that coming out committing a felony.
Okay.
Yeah, the phrase that comes to mind is murderous intent.
So for 20 minutes.
I do have to say, in an old school way, I loved Tegan's gear, because when you have the old school like street fights, it's usually, you know, coming out in jeans or pants and being like, we're going to fucking kill someone.
That's always a nice touch when people do that. I love when people do that as well. I feel like they mean business in that instance. When somebody comes out and they're not doing anything to protect themselves in a street fight, it's like, okay, all right, you're not really taking this seriously. Now, that being said, Dakota Kai also looked cute as hell tonight.
Dude, she got the main roster extensions for tonight.
She got the extensions. She had little chain links in her hair. She had Suicidal Assassin's art on the back of her shirt. She was wearing these cute little shorts. I mean, she didn't necessarily show up prepared or covered, but by God, she looked cute as hell.
She came prepared for a street fight. Let's be real. She did. In her own way.
But gear-wise, she did nothing to protect her body. But yeah, I mean, it's like she showed up cute. So, and she was right there with Dakota or with Tegan the whole time. So I can't complain.
For the record, we're talking about Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai in a street fight, which Tegan got jumped in the entrance.
Immediately jumped, and it just set the tone for the rest of the damn match.
It really did. And they just started beating the crap out of each other.
When this was announced, we always jokingly say someone's going to die in one of these, you know, like, oh, so they're going to kill each other. This was probably one of the more brutal street fights we've seen. And the closest thing I think akin to it was that Becky Lynch Hell in a Cell, where Becky was just like, I'm just going to go out, you know, screw screw what you think is going to happen. I'm going to just lay people to waste. And that's what these two did. They went out there and were like, okay, yeah, that's an opener. The crowd seemed really hot for it. We're going to steal it.
It started with Tegan tackling her through the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tegan had a little bit of a malfunction there, too.
What was the
The pants were a little bit big in the waist.
Yeah, you saw some things. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
It was cute. No. It was a nice color, too.
Nothing wrong at all, Rock.
And then we had tables, ladders, trash cans, chairs, all that's under the ring, and a cricket bat.
Dakota had murderous intentions with a cricket bat, and it exploded when it hit the ring post.
It did.
I feel like that took that to a whole other level of classy that we haven't had in a street fight before. Like...
Yeah, it's something British. It all becomes classier.
You've
got a Welsh and a New Zealander. Somehow cricket will be involved.
I mean, honestly, we've never had a cricket bat before, so it's like, oh, that's different. And you think of cricket, and it's very, from what I understand, very posh and confusing. And so it's like, oh, it's a British thing. So, of course, us American idiots were like... It's fancy.
It's baseball for people who think that baseball is too exciting.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's accurate if you've ever watched it. It can go on for like 3 days, apparently. But yeah, I mean, it added a little international flair to this match that we haven't had previously.
So the spot right after was the invert senton, and people were like, why did she do that move?
That was weird. It's like a reverse cannonball, where it looked like she was jumping up for a drop kick and over rotated and went back first into the can.
Dakota pissed her off.
Pardon? My only thing is, if she went in shoulder first or feet first, it might have been too sharp and might have done something internally to the can that would have been dangerous.
I more thought about it as... she's just gone through two knee surgeries, and she just didn't want to drop kick her into steel like that and re-injure herself. That's what I thought.
But why not go for like a normal senton?
Because she's fancy. She's Tegan Knox.
I mean, honestly, this is Tegan's real first opportunity in probably 2 years to really show everybody what she can do. And so I feel like there were a couple moments in this match where she overdid a couple things, and Dakota as well, because they could, and they had the crowd, and they had the spotlight, and it's like, you know what? I don't know when I'm going to be here again. Fuck it. Let's just do it.
This was Tegan's first big moment in NXT, because she's missed so many because of being injured, and this was her first takeover match, officially. Because there was a night when Dakota turned on her and she couldn't compete in the match.
Hypothetically.
It's not hypothetical.
Dude, they beat the shit out of each other for 10 minutes over it. I'm pretty sure it's legit now.
So we got back in the ring, and then Dakota took a German suplex on a trash can.
Yeah.
That was nasty. That was a high angle, too.
Mm-hmm. Dakota was regretting her life choice at that moment.
We have a super choke slam from Lady Kane.
Okay, I love Tegan. I don't know if we can call that a choke slam as much as it was a push from the top rope.
It wasn't. At least from the way that they shot it, it wasn't, because you just see Dakota jump off the top and she lands on the mat and she sells it, and then she gets up and the move right after it. She just stands there and takes it. I think it was a crossbody or something like that.
It was the Molly go round.
It was the Molly go round.
It was the Molly go round. That's it. She did the Molly go round. It was like Dakota just stands there for like a good 5 to 10 seconds and waits for Tegan to do the move. That was my one real qualm with this match, was it was very apparent that Dakota was just waiting, and it didn't have the same level of flow as the rest of the match did.
So we had a couple spots where we're like, she's sticking her head in the chair. It's like, oh my god, she's going to kill her. She's actually going to murder her in this matchup.
That was...
That
roll
spot...
her on the table, one thing. Then you stick the head in, you know, into the chair. It's like, oh.
Well, the one... Oh, go ahead.
I'm not sure I've seen someone try that. That looks extraordinarily dangerous and legitimately suspenseful to see if it would actually happen.
I was going to say, the spot where she had the chair on the mat and fed Dakota's head through it is a spot she's done in the UK before. And the match I saw, she actually nailed the running knee slash shin kick to it. And it was probably one of the more brutal things I've seen in a match. Because the girl she gave it to, I think it was Bea Priestley, just was sitting in there and it was just, you have to absolutely trust that you're going to nail it right. And it just looks sick. Dakota moved, for the love of God.
So we then go to the outside. Dakota has found duct tape and just starts taping her to the ring post.
Things got kinky.
And just start kicking her in the head. And the one kick just knocked her, separated her from the duct tape. Yeah, that was good.
It was so nice.
Then
I mean, it was awful, but it was nice.
Then Tegan found a laptop, started hitting Dakota with it.
Not the Raw general manager, no!
And then found a big, giant metal chain.
Things got kinkier.
Tegan found the chain, and she was going to pay back Dakota for what happened at War Games.
And basically, she wrapped her fist with the chain, and she started to punch Dakota's knee with it, and smack it with a laptop, and that's...
And Dakota sold it so well.
It was great.
Then Dakota took the shiniest wizard, and there was a look on Tegan's face, and she went, "What did I just do? I just beat the crap out of my former best friend. Oh my god. Did that really just happen?"
This is the moment where she went full Gargano.
Yep, and then went, I'm not done with you. I am going to end you."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a really just great moment, because Dakota's on her knees. She's got hold of Tegan's knee brace. She's looking up at her. She's like, "Okay, I've learned my lesson. I think I'm done." And Tegan's like, "Can I do this? Can I really do this?" "Yep, I can do it. I'm good."
It's you saw in her mind at that moment replaying the entrance of Dakota Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, "Oh no, you did this to yourself."
So Tegan then gets the table she set up earlier outside, brings it back into the ring, throws Dakota on there, puts her head in the chair around her neck while she's laying on the table.
And that's where everyone went, "Oh god,
something bad's about to happen." So out of nowhere, Raquel Gonzalez shows up, takes down, and Dakota was able to roll off the table, and what was supposed to be, I guess, a choke slam from the top rope through a table kind of happened. Tegan hit the thing.
She hit the edge of the table.
Yeah, she hit the edge of the table. It looked like the support legs on the bottom buckled, and the whole thing fell out from under her.
Yeah, she kind of bounced off of it, and then the table bounced, and so she landed. But it looks like she maybe bounced her head off the back of it. I don't know, but she was laying there.
We'll find out an update here soon.
Looked nasty. Yeah. It's one of those spots where the table not breaking looked a lot more painful than if it had broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh, like you heard the crowd react to it too. But then it's like there's this massive level of confusion, because they're trying to explain who this woman is. And we're like, what is she doing here? She has no business in this match. Like, none. She has nothing to do with this whatsoever. Go home. Just go home.
She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go here. Like, what the F? Like, get her out of here.
So Dakota was...
The crowd was chanting, "Who are you?"
Yeah. Dakota got the win. Also, welcome to Botchamania, Tegan and Dakota. Because
after that table spot trending on Twitter on my feed was "I am the table, yeah," which is the Botchamania bit for Unbroken Table.
Okay.
Oh god.
Yeah. So because it's a whole bit. Good.
I don't think she ruined the match, LeMans. I think it made the ending very confusing, because at the end, after Dakota had won, Dakota was extremely confused, like the rest of us. Like, what are you doing here? What do you want? Like, she was actually worried that she was going to get beat up by this girl, and this girl just picks her up and walks off with her and just basically claims Dakota Kai as her own. I mean, respect.
And that's fine.
But
Dakota got adopted tonight.
She did. Like, she legit did. Like, Raquel just picks her up and leaves with her, and they leave Tegan laying by the table, just unconscious, apparently, from what Raquel just did.
Like, it would make sense. It would make so much more sense if Dakota was, like, smirking at the end. Like, she knew this was what was going to happen. Like, she hired this muscle to come in.
Okay, now, with all that said, I know there's a lot of criticism for why put her in that position even if we don't know who she is. That's the point. We don't know who she is. We don't know much of her.
To get you to tune in to find out.
Right. So this takeover Portland was a chapter in the story. We are now going to the next chapter. No one thought, like, if you thought it was going to end here, that's not true, because this feud, you started at War Games. You can't just end it with one takeover. There's multiple layers to this. So now Dakota has backup. Because let's be real. Tegan's had a lot of backup in the last few weeks. She's had Candace. She's had Mia Yim in the past. She's had backup in these fights. Now Dakota has someone on her side to even her odds. And we'll find out why Raquel Gonzalez is involved in this story, why she wants to align with Dakota. And that's called storyline development. It's creating a new character instead of, oh my god, I know this person.
And it's bringing another woman into the NXT television product, because the roster has kind of shrunk down a little bit, and now they're starting to expand it back out again. Because you have people, you know, go up to the main roster, or you've had people leave or other things, so it's gotten smaller. Now they need to bring it back up so you have more competitors, because coming out of Mania, whoever the NXT Women's Champion is, which we'll get to, is going to have people to compete against. And so far, Rhea has already kind of gone through everybody before she became champion. So now you have to build new, fresh people for her to go against. Because, I mean, honestly, I would not complain about Rhea versus Tegan at all.
So don't... I know people like to overanalyze things day of. Watch it play out. I can see why some people are mad and some people don't like it. Just let it play out. Let them tell the story.
Well, I was going to say, for the next couple of weeks, between the four of them, you have a group of matches that you can do. You have build. And this can lead to April in Tampa, where you could have that ultimate
blow off
yeah. between everyone.
You can do Tegan versus Dakota in a last woman standing match at TakeOver Tampa.
Or you just do the four, you know, all four of them together, tag match if you need to.
No, I would go to singles, because here's why. You're taking the NXT Women's Championship and moving it to WrestleMania. We'll get to the hows and whys in a minute. So you need a big focus match. Those two are your girls.
And I mean, yeah. It's something that if you wanted to move the women's tag titles into that, which they don't really need to, you could. But that's another option for them as well. But they won't do that. But yeah, I think the most confusing part was just you were expecting some level of shenanigans in this match, because we talked about it when we did the preview. But I think a lot of people were expecting it to be Candice LeRae, and it wasn't. It was Raquel Gonzalez, who, if you watch the Mae Young Classic, you know who she is, kind of. But it's like, I didn't recognize her at first. I was like, who the hell is that? What is she doing here? Why is she here? It just didn't make... It's like, in terms of the story, it's like such a hard left turn that it breaks the reality and the continuity of what's going on in front of you. And I think that's where a lot of people had a problem, was it was just such a hard left that this random person just shows up. So I think that was the problem with it. But overall, prior to that, the match was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I will take another one of those in a heartbeat when they're better in like a month or two. Please heal up first.
Ice. Plenty of ice.
Lots of ice and icy hot and everything else that you can come up with.
Ibuprofen.
All that jazz. All right, next match.
Up next, you have, I believe, Johnny Wrestling taking on Finn Balor, the Battle of the Takeover Icons. This was a really, really good match. It was very slow to start, very methodical, a lot of grappling.
Finn's a dick.
Finn is a dick.
He did push-ups.
Johnny's a dick, too.
Yeah. Johnny was trolling him with a ring gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Came about this goddamn carnage.
Little mind games going on there. There was a lot of feeling each other out because this was the first time that Finn and Johnny had gone, at least in NXT. So there's a lot of feeling each other out. There's a lot of trying to figure out the other one. And so we saw a lot of tests of strength, a lot of wrestling, a lot of grappling. And this one was very nicely paced because it's, like I said, it started very slow, but it had a very nice gradual build as they went towards the finish.
It went about a half hour, so you had to go a little bit slow in pace. And then they had some nice false finishes, nice the drop kicks, whatever Morrow is calling it. He's just over screams the name of the drop kick over and over again, and you just kind of forget what it is. This was good. Really enjoyable. There's nothing really, like, in a hardcore match, you can go move by move by move. This is like, this was really good wrestling. You had some attempts to get the 1916, you had some attempts at the coup de grace and the Gargano escape and all that stuff. It was really good, intense wrestling that left you on your edge of the feet until Finn decided just to kill Johnny at the end.
He was done playing.
That's the one thing I like about this new incarnation of Balor. I mean, as we talked about during the show, number one, you can tell he enjoys being home in NXT. The way he's wrestling, the way he has his style is, he's having a good time now. But I just kind of like that he has a little bit of the Fiend in him, in that he's wrestling a match, and then it's like, okay, it's time for you to die now.
Well, it's kind of like the demon, right? That's when the demon kind of fully takes control, and it's like, all right, let's do this. I'm done playing with you. I've had enough. I want to go home. Mm-hmm. And he ends it. And I mean, I really liked, because at the flip side of that, what balanced that was the Tommaso in Johnny and how Johnny sort of went to that dark place in his soul with Finn, where he was legitimately at one point, I think, trying to kill Finn so he could win the match. But obviously the darkness, if you want to call it or whatever, in Johnny does not rival what's in Finn. Mm-hmm. And so Finn was able to pick up the victory because there's a lot of different influences going on there.
But in the end, Finn got his win and has the flag of NXT.
Yeah, and can we talk about the whore pin? I feel like we need to talk about the whore pin.
let's clarify. You need to talk about the whore pin.
So Finn Balor up the ante on mounting and pinning like a whore tonight. I mean, Bray Wyatt pretty much had the market corner, but not anymore. Finn just like straights up mounts Johnny and sits on top of him and holds on to him for the win. So, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Not only did he mount him after the pin, he shamed him afterwards for it.
He did. Sitting on him. While sitting on him.
Just sitting on him. And you see Johnny just trying to slap him away, and Finn just is like, no. You will take this. God. It was domination in more than one ways tonight with Finn Balor.
Just a bit. Finn was being a little toppish tonight. It's fine. It's completely fine.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have your NXT Women's Championship on the line as Bianca Belair takes on Rhea Ripley for the title. This was so much fun. I loved this match. Every way, shape, and form.
It took a minute for Bianca to settle in.
Yeah.
She seemed a little amped, or she got winded really quickly, because there was a spot early in the match where she just seemed a little out of sorts.
The suplex spot. Yeah. It was just a little... Yeah.
Yeah, because she couldn't hold her the first time, and the second time, she couldn't hold her either.
She kind of dropped her on her side.
It was almost jackhammered her.
But she settled in. She calmed down. She's like, okay, nerves are gone. Adrenaline sort of like stabilized. It's like, okay, now I'm going to be me. And they had a really good match. There was a spot, though, where Rhea went over the top rope. And there was a look on her face. Okay. Oh, my God. Am I okay? Okay. I can, my feet work. My ankles work. Okay. My knees are good. Okay. I can get up. Because she almost landed awkwardly and bad.
Well, you see her try to land on her feet. Like, you see her actively try to catch herself, mm-hmm. and she's just got way too much momentum. And so she lands on her feet, and then she just lands flat on her face. And you know it didn't feel good either time.
No.
No.
No, it's just the way that her feet landed first and then fell out from under her looked really bad.
Oh, yeah. Without question.
So they had a really good match. the finish sort of came out of like sort of like out of nowhere, kind of. But it was cool, though, the Riptide from the top rope. Good finish. But it felt like...
Yeah, it's a cool way to hook the Riptide.
Yeah. It went like, oh, that's it? Because you wanted, like, I think people wanted a little bit more, but we didn't get a little bit more. It probably could have gone a couple more minutes of the match, but it was like, okay, good. Rhea got her win. She survived. She's still your champion.
I mean, Bianca definitely gave her a run for her money, and we will get more matches between the two, that's for sure. But I think maybe they were running a little bit long at that point. I don't know. Or they were timing it so that way it's like maybe they took a couple minutes off this match. I'm not sure. But I felt like it was fine. The end was a little sudden, but it was okay because we will get more later.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca will get her time in the sun. As much as I wanted her to win the title here, I'm okay that she didn't win the title here because with what happened after the match, it kind of would have been, I guess, tainted a little bit. So when she wins, I want it to be this really big
moment
for her.
Yeah, it would have been overshadowed.
Yeah, because what happens immediately after the match is Charlotte comes out
Woo! And
just rams the crap out of Rhea, knocks her down. And so she's laying face first on the mat. And Charlotte's like, okay, I thought about it. LOL. I'll see you at WrestleMania. Bye. Mic drops, throws the title on Rhea, leaves. She beats up Bianca, leaves.
Throws down a natural selection on Rhea.
Yeah.
Just because she can, you know. I do have to say I didn't like Charlotte's shoes. They were a little hideous.
Charlotte's whole outfit was kind of special.
I didn't mind the top. Like, the top was okay because it was see-through and she had a nice bra on underneath and then she had, like, the boob guides going on with it. And so... I don't know what else to call those things. I really don't. I don't know what the thing... It's not a strap, because it doesn't support anything, I don't think. So I feel like it's a boob guide that helps your boob go in your cup. I don't know. I've never tried one. I couldn't tell you what they actually do, if they have any form or function. But anyway, so she's wearing that, and then she's got this, like, sheer top on with, like, diamonds on it, and then she's got her belt... I guess I want to say it's Gucci, but I'm not sure. Or CG belt, whatever the hell that is. And then black pants, and then these really clunky patent shoes that were just meh.
Well, it's Gigi. Yeah, it's a Gucci belt.
So she looked fine. But yeah, it's like, there's the challenge. It gets dropped after TakeOver on Rhea. So it's like if Charlotte had come out on Bianca after she won the title, it kind of would have overshadowed the moment for Bianca just a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised if Bianca somehow ends up in the Rhea Charlotte match.
We'll see. Or we may just get Charlotte versus Bianca on NXT TV at some point.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine with that.
I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's next?
So up next, in an interesting turn of events, we had Undisputed Era as a unit closing the show. Because at first we have your tag team champions, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, taking on the Broserweights in their Bobby Fish Fry shirts for the tag team championships.
Okay.
They made goddamn shirts.
They did. Okay. So Hunter is doing this Facebook Live interview thing with Kathy Kelly. He said, and I quote, there were some smoke issues on his plane for some reason.
Hunter just has to get in on it. He just has to. He can't help himself.
He was early on Twitter. He's like, they were on my plane? how many fish could Bobby Fish fish if Bobby Fish could fry? Or how many fish could a Bobby Fish fry if a Bobby Fish could fry fish? It's available at www.shop.com.
Okay, Rock, they not only had t-shirts, they had, like, visuals on the side screens.
Yeah.
Of Bobby Fish.
Mm-hmm.
On a fit. What the hell? Who was the production guy that had to come up with that?
I don't know, but they deserve a raise.
Dear God.
That's your... Imagine, you get paid by Vince McMahon to put Bobby Fish on a fish.
Okay, but I don't think you understand. I would do that all day long and twice on Sundays.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would, too.
Like, for what their graphic design people get to do, I would very much love to work there probably most of the time, because you just get to do the weirdest, graphic design stuff. Like, we need you to stick Bobby Fish on a fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need you to create a slithering snake for... what's supposed to look like a snake for Randy Orton for WrestleMania.
And whatever the hell Velveteen wants to do this month.
Can we talk about the Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Michelangelo style painting that somebody got to do
for the Festival of Friendship?
Yeah. Like, all the Firefly Funhouse stuff, like, their graphic designers just get to do. And I'm sure for them, it's like, it's so blasé at this point. They're like, oh, you want us to stick Bobby Fish on a fish? It's a Tuesday.
I wonder if they come in from the weekend and their first thought is, oh God, what am I going to have to do this week?
They probably hate Mondays because they walk in and they're like, crap, it's Monday. Raw's tonight. Shit. Something weird's going to happen. We're on a
deadline.
I can feel the disturbance in the force. Same thing on Fridays. They're like, it's Friday. SmackDown's tonight. Shit.
And somewhere Hunter is just lurking going, guys, I've got a request.
So TakeOver's this weekend. But yeah, no, anyway, back on topic. Tangent.
Good match.
It was a really good match. You have to love it when you get multiple tag team specialists in one match, right? Because you have Bobby Fish and you have Kyle O'Reilly, who are work married, and they're a permanent tag team. You have Pete Dunne, who is a tag team specialist. He's worked with Bate and Seven and several other people, and he knows how to do that. And I don't know about Matt Riddle. I don't think he's done as many tag matches, but he got it done.
He's holding
his own. I'm not sure if Riddle knows how many tag matches Riddle's done.
I mean, it's questionable. But they all meshed really well together. They all worked well together. We saw a lot of like high impact spots. I feel like we got to see Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish do stuff that we don't normally get to see with them. Like, they kind of got taken to task a little bit on this one and got to expand on what we've already seen. I don't know though. It's been a minute since they've wrestled, so
overall, it was just a good match. They did their things.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love the reversal segment they did in this one.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, and new tag team champions, the Broserweights.
Points!
I am totally okay with this for just all of the antics that are about to happen.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
They not only have... Okay, remember, they have a golf cart, which miraculously appeared in Portland.
Creative licensing, I think, was the phrase used.
They have the trophy. They now have the belts they can put on the golf cart.
Yep.
And one of the titles is going to have teeth marks in it because Pete Dunne. But,
oh, both of them. Riddle stole it immediately.
But I kind of can't wait for the antics. I'm picturing Matt Riddle losing his title almost immediately in my head, and they have to go find it. And Pete Dunne sits there questioning every life choice he's ever made and wondering how fast he can get back on a plane to London so he can go see Trent and Tyler, because they're not nearly as insane as this American dude.
Dude, where's my title?
I took advantage of the fact I had semi-normal British friends. And I ended up with that.
I'm pretty sure my partner just pawned his belt for pot money.
I mean, it's not a stretch. Really not a stretch.
Riddle, within the first 5 minutes, is thinking, can I turn this into a bong?
I mean, if you tried hard enough, you might be able to. I don't know. That would be tricky.
If anyone can do it, I put my money on Matt Riddle.
I mean, to be fair, yes, absolutely. But they'd have an easier time turning the trophy into a bong than they would the title. Just saying.
Let's be fair. It already is.
I mean,
those boots are smoking.
Fair point. Fair point. But yeah, the antics on this should be nothing short of brilliant.
Time for your main event.
All right. Main event time. Adam Cole, Bebe, taking on Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship. So I'm going to ask this question. Do we want to talk about the match first, or do we want to talk about the end first?
Match. Talk about the match.
I need more time for cookies.
Okay.
So many near falls. So many goddamn near falls in this matchup.
I love the way that the first 5 minutes was Ciampa just getting into Cole's head at every opportunity. Anytime Cole thought he had something, Ciampa was just right in front of him, and Cole, you could just tell, is getting more and more frustrated of, like, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm. I liked that every time they would have, like, a big moment, there was the near fall, and whoever it was would have to sit there and be like, God damn it, what do I have to do to win? Because there's one point that I feel like Tommaso was sitting there, and he went back over what he had done to Johnny. And he felt like that was on par with what he had done to Johnny, and that was not enough to take out Adam Cole, and so he just had to double it, because that was the only way he was going to beat Adam Cole.
And then Adam Cole was like, okay, what the hell am I going to do to beat Ciampa? He threw everything at him. So many last shots, so many Panama sunrises. He brought out his boys. They all got involved.
Roderick Strong cell.
Oh my god, Roderick Strong cell. He's just hanging from the top rope.
Oh, and Willow's belt? Yeah. He planted him, and I mean planted him like a tree.
Yeah, he was indeed a tree for a minute. But there were so many close near falls. So many at the end. It's like, okay, is this the moment? Is this the moment? Nope. Then you had a ref bump. And everyone, oh god. So Ciampa hits the fairy tale ending. 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's no referee.
They got up to 20 with the crowd before Cole moved.
And then...
No.
And then...
Ciampa goes for Goldie. He's going to put away Adam Cole with Goldie. Going to be the end of the night. Then Johnny Gargano in his DIY shirt came out. Grabbed the belt away from Tommaso. Smacked him in the head. Cole covers 1, 2, 3.
Johnny Boom. Wrestling Gargano.
Candace is going to kill you.
Go to your room and think about what you've done. You're gonna die.
She middle named him.
I don't have his actual middle name, but I feel like a middle name is appropriate here because of what he did. We were all banking on Johnny showing up at one point in this match. We weren't disappointed that Johnny showed up in this match. We were just horrified because Johnny turned on Tommaso.
Okay, hang on. Can I just, like, I just want to throw out, I'd like to point out that on Thursday, you all were picking the other wrestling to turn on someone, and it so happened that our soul got ripped out by the other one.
I would like to point out this was extremely well done, and I hate WWE for it, because I don't think any of us saw this coming, because where this got left was between Tommaso and Johnny was they had come full circle, and the story had completed, and they were not friends, but they were at least on quasi the same page with each other. And, like, they had resolved all the issues. So it's like, great, the story's done, and we have this wonderful ending that we've been given. You know, especially after Tommaso got hurt, and then he came back, and then they teamed together one night, and brought DIY back, and, like, all the other things, right? Like, that's where we were at with it. And then this happens, and it's just, like, a punch to your heart. Like, I don't even know how to describe it, because we all... I know Rock and I sat here, and we were like... No! Like, I yelled at Johnny. What did you guys do?
My words were, what the fuck did you just do?
I started laughing. It was great.
Both. He did. He started laughing.
Cookies both and crying.
Both for the fact of, Johnny, how could you do this? And Tommaso's gonna kill you now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened in terms of Cole winning and Cole celebrating and all that other stuff. It's a happy moment for Undisputed Era. They sit on the edge of the ring and all of that. But the fallout from this between Tommaso and Johnny, that's the real story coming out of TakeOver, because it's like, oh, good God, Tommaso's going to commit a felony. Because we all saw the wars that Johnny and Tommaso went through.
Yep.
We all saw them. We all watched them with rapt fascination and horror. And we know what's coming. We know what Tommaso is absolutely capable of. But what makes this really interesting and tantalizing is we don't know how far Johnny's willing to go. Like, we've seen him go very far. And we think, in theory, we've seen him go to his limit. But have we really?
Well, and for once, we get to see the roles flipped.
Mm-hmm.
You get Tommaso on the, quote-unquote, good side. And Johnny coming from the possible dark place. And I mean, who knows? Maybe Tampa rolls around. We don't just get those two one-on-one. But, Rock, you hinted at something of what we could see at Tampa on Thursday. We could see multiple people.
I mean, you all said I was wrong on that one.
We could, after tonight, we could have four people going after Goldie. I don't think any of us are going to complain about it after tonight either.
Nope. Nope.
Or it's going to be Gargano, Ciampa one more time in Tampa.
But I feel like
who
it went
against Cole then.
Finn
Balor.
You're going to go heel for the for Mania weekend?
Dude, you just have Finn Balor come out and kick Adam Cole in the face and tell him that the title's his and boom, done. But what worries me about Tommaso versus Johnny one more time is we all know Tommaso is on borrowed time with his neck and everything else. And what worries me is that going to be the send-off for Tommaso Ciampa?
No.
But by the way, tonight, good job on selling the neck, especially for the German onto the announce table.
Oh, God, that was vicious, because it didn't break.
No, he just went upper back first into the edge.
And the second that he tested that left arm, all of us went, wait, is this legit? Is this him just acting? What's going on here?
The ref's checking on him. Oh, God, what's the ref checking for?
Exactly.
It's like, he's fine, right? He's fine. Everything's fine.
You can't do this to us, Tommaso. You can't. We just got you back.
Imagine you put Johnny and Tommaso in a Hell in a Cell.
Oh. Well, I think we all wanted a Hell in a Cell at one point, and we were all very disappointed that we did not get it. But, I mean, if you put Johnny and Tommaso in the main show, and they go in a Hell in a Cell, I think everybody would be okay with that, except for possibly Candace and Tommaso's wife. Just because reasons. But because in that instance, I feel like they would be very hard-pressed to stop them from going off the top of the cell.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they would let him, I'm pretty sure Johnny would cannonball off the top of that thing.
He would cannonball. You'd get the air raid crash off the top of the cell. Something incredibly stupid.
Like, I feel like he's waited his whole life for that moment.
So, this was the highest-grossing WWE event in Portland since 2008.
Can believe that.
That's pretty good. Alright, so Brent, you got some picks to recap. Go.
Okay. do I start from the bottom or just announce it, or how would you
bottom,
like it?
Bottom to the top.
Okay. I would like to announce the Treacherous 8-Ball finished 3-3.
Okay.
In last place. I voted with my heart and got second place at 4-2. And everyone else got 5-1 because everyone basically picked Ciampa except for Rock, but Rock went with me with Tegan for the women's match. So there you go. Basically 5-1 for everyone, 4-2 for me, 8-Ball, 3-3.
We beat the 8-Ball, y'all. Yay! Yes,
we all beat an inanimate object.
I can't tell you how disheartening it is when you don't beat the 8-Ball, because I've been in those shoes and it sucks that you got beaten by an inanimate object. It's smarter than you. And you just sit here and you're like, damn it. Okay.
Alright.
But
before you go on, so there's a lot of talk on the internet. Vince McMahon has no good ideas anymore, right? Vince McMahon has bad ideas. That's all. Everyone hates Vince, right?
Yeah.
The reason we're getting Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley, it was Vince McMahon's decision. And it shocked Hunter.
Well, wait, I mean, you're letting me do what? Dad, I love you.
Thanks, Dad.
Is WrestleMania on Trips' birthday, or?
Something. Anyway, go ahead, Lindsay.
So, all right, let's go around the table and let's get closing final thoughts, if anybody has any before we go, because there was a lot to process in the show, and just want to make sure everybody makes sure their opinions are heard. So, Omega, take it away.
It's getting cliche to say that the takeovers keep getting better, but Jesus Christ. Like, every match on this card was really solid. The action was really good. Storytelling was good. The pacing, I felt, on all the matches was spot on what they needed to be. There's little points I can nitpick. A couple little spots that had to be redone, or little points that I felt maybe that might not be the best spot to pull there, but I'm thoroughly satisfied with everything tonight. This was fantastic.
So before we move on, LeMans, real quick, it doesn't mean that Charlotte wins the title. It could mean that Charlotte lays down for Rhea Ripley and cements Rhea Ripley as one of the top stars in the women's division.
Yeah, cements Rhea, cements the title.
Yeah.
You know, here's a belt that Charlotte can't get anytime she wants. That would do huge things for NXT.
And it also lends some credibility to the show that's going up against direct competition.
Yeah. So it's a way, and it's a name to get onto the show subtly heading into WrestleMania, that you're having Charlotte appear on NXT on the regular for that other competition. It's just another subtle way to do that. So, Brent?
I'm going to echo Omega's thoughts on the fact that when you look going into this card up and down, you were kind of like, all right, there's some really good matches. I'm looking forward to all this. After watching all of them, I don't really think you look back and you say, this was an okay. You know, every now and then when it comes to a takeover, there's the one match where you're like, I kind of expected more from it. Or, you know, like, yeah, this was the cool down match. This card just kept building and building and building to the point where when we're talking throughout the night, we're just like, can we get a breather for a second? Because everything just kept going until the very end, and then you were just like, okay, the card's over, I can breathe now. I'm not gonna say it's one of those where it's like, oh, this is the best takeover that's ever been, but every match stood on its own, every match was great, and it makes you want to see what's happening Wednesday, as well as you look at Tampa now and you're going, if this is what they did for Portland with their own standalone show. And we know that Hunter likes to do the, you know, hey, main card, top this. What's going to happen when they have Mania for a stage? And your women's title match is going to be pulled onto the main card. It's going to be off on Sunday on Mania. So now you've got an extra spot to fill and a lot of hungry talent that are going to want that moment on that stage. So I'm excited to see what's coming next.
Okay. Rock?
Worst takeover ever. We should never see an event like this again. It was paced awfully.
Never go back to Portland.
Never go back to Portland, and the wrong people went over.
He's heel turning.
Johnny, no!
No, it was a really good show. It was a really fun show. Nothing bad that I can say. You could, like I said, you could nitpick, but it was 3 hours of fun entertainment. Lindsay? Okay.
I really hate it, but I really love that they surprised us more than once tonight. I love that you didn't see it coming at all. Like, there was it, because I mean, we sit here and we talk about it, right? And we're not experts about what we talk about, but we know it based on what we've seen, and you can see similar trends and similar stories. You watch it long enough and you can kind of figure out some of the formulas that they use. So I really like that, like, we didn't see, you know, Raquel coming. We didn't see the Johnny turn coming. None of that was expected. And they just got a lot of people, not just us, but pretty much everybody with both of those, because they weren't even on the radar. There was nothing coming out about them, anything like that, anywhere that said, hey, this is going to happen. So I really, really love that about this show. I also really like, honestly, the takeovers on its own, that we don't have to sit here and be like, oh, well, you know, main roster's screwed tomorrow because this was a really good show. I really like that this was a standalone show and that they got to shine on their own without having to worry about the main roster following them up and potentially showing them up, which rarely happens, but it does happen. So that to me was really nice. Like, I echo everybody else that this was a fantastic show top to bottom. It always is. Like, I don't think they've necessarily ever put on a bad takeover. Some have been weaker than others. But in terms of match quality, in terms of storytelling, in terms of pacing, all of that stuff, it was perfect. There's little nitpicky things, but I loved everything about this. I thought it was great. And I can't wait to see the next chapter in Tampa. I think it's going to be pretty banging.
Okay. Before we get the plugs and everything, Shawn Michaels on Twitter, Tweet of the Week. Each one has something special separating itself from the others. NXT TakeOver, thank you for making me feel like a kid again. I think that describes it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uncle Shawn is so proud.
He's so proud of his sons. All and daughters, but sons. Because Adam Cole is his son with Hunter.
All right, Omega, plug your stuff.
If you want to catch what else I am doing on the internet, you can follow me just about everywhere under one name, unless you want to check me out on Facebook, in which case, look for TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with a ton of content. And for a little bit more, you can find me over at TJOmega.net.
Right.
You can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. You can also find me on Thursdays and Saturdays with Fortnite with Friends, as well as Saturday nights on CB Radio and all the craziness that ensues.
Tomorrow night is Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday evening, you'll be able to check out the Rat Kick Show Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 4. Right? 4? I think.
3.
No, this was 3, wasn't it? This was 3, Episode 4 is on Wednesday. It's confusing. 4. Thank you, Matt. 4. On Wednesday. Thursday night, we'll be live for the Rack to preview Super Showdown, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. GrandTheGreatDebate.com, CBRadioLive.com. Omega returns with Tim next week from Russell Talk Radio to do their version of the Super Showdown preview. Yay. 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. That Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, search the Rack Radio Show. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTLive. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Also, use credit code RocketSock when you buy your battle passes for Season 2 of Chapter 2 this Thursday. Because that's the thing. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner, because that's what we are. That's it. Lindsay, go.
Yeah, so the other thing we'll be talking about probably on the Rack is the fact that Season 2, Chapter 2 is starting on Thursday, and I'm sure we'll be talking all about it. So tune in for that, but don't forget to follow our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LinsWard, LNSWRD. So everybody, I hope you enjoyed the show. Tweet us your thoughts at all the Twitters just mentioned, because we want to hear what you have to say if you weren't in the chat and you're listening to the podcast. So please let us know. Don't let us know. Whatever you want to do, I don't care. But for Rock, for Brent, for Omega, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack Extra right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you for the regular show on Thursdays. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.